Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari 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 Gopi Jana Balabha Giridhar 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 Hari Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana 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 Yamunathira Vanachari Yamunathira Vanachari Yamunathira Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Balabha Giridhar Hari Gopi Jana Balabha Giridhar Hari Gopi Jana Balabha Giridhar Hari Gopi Jana Balabha Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Hare Rama Hare Rama Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
Jaya Om Vishnupad Balamangsa Paribhajakacharya Astatara Satasri Simanas Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Kija Nantakori Vaishnava Niki Namacharya Srila Haidar Stakur Ki Rimshikaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Adaita Garadhar Sri Vasari Gaur Bhakta Bindiki Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopina Shaima Kund Radha Kund Giri Govardhan Ki Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Sri Namadeep Dham Ki Gangamai Jamunamai Ki Tosi Maharani Ki Bhakti Devi Ki Samaveda Bhakta Brinda Ki Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Hari Hari Hari. So today I was asked to speak something, and I first want to beg your forgiveness for sitting in front of you on a higher seat. Amongst you are many great devotees, senior devotees who are sannyasi, many dedicated brahmacharis, some of my god sisters and matas who have dedicated their lives to distributing Srila Prabhupada's books and serving the Lord faithfully, and even many noble people who are just coming to Krishna consciousness. All of you, please give me your blessings. If I have any qualifications, it's just that I'm still here after 53 years. Although I struggle in every way, but being the disciple of Srila Prabhupada, I'm obligated to speak something. The particular subject matters today, there are two, and they're symbiotic. One is that we're reading from 10th Canto, which I really find quite humorous to ask me to speak something from 10th Canto, or any of us really, to read 10th Canto. But we'll read it for our own purification, although I doubt that I'll illuminate much. At the same time, it's the disappearance day of Srila Madhavendra Puri. So Srila Madhavendra Puri, as many of you scholarly devotees know better than me, he is really the seed, the new seed in our line. Our line comes out of Madhvacharya, the Brahma Sampradaya. There are four Sampradayas, Vaishnava Sampradayas, which are meant to illuminate the Kali Yuga. And out of those Sampradayas, very specifically, the Sri Sampradaya, which you still see very strong in South India. You know, they wear that very big Vaishnav Tilak, Sri Sampradaya. So their mood is quite different. They worship the Lord as Lakshmi Narayan, primarily. And in Madhva Sampradaya, originally, which you still see in South India, especially Udupi Krishna, he's a cowherd boy. You don't see Sri Radha in that line. Now, Mahaprabhu took two items of philosophy from each of the four Sampradayas, and actually the worship of Sri Radha and Krishna came from Nimbarka Sampradaya, which comes from the four Kumaras originally. So Nimbarka Sampradaya, I don't know if all of you know this, is probably numerically more prominent in Vrindavan, almost equal to Gaudiya Sampradaya. But they also primarily do accept Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they gave the idea of worship of Sri Radha and Krishna. Lord Chaitanya took that Madhurya Leela from Nimbarka Sampradaya. So they're very much close cousins to us, and they're very prominent in Vrindavan, as are the Gaudiyas, of course. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he made a prediction that as Kali Yuga progresses, all these four Sampradayas will eventually come together under the banner of Mahaprabhu. And we see this slowly, slowly happening. Of course, the Nimbarkas are already very, very close, and they do accept Mahaprabhu. I've noticed that in Madhva, because I spend a lot of time in Udupi area, and a lot of interaction I've had with the different Madhva sannyasis and the various Mat leaders, especially I used to spend a little time with very saintly, extraordinarily saintly sannyasi, who was known as Pejor Swami. He's now passed on, but he was known as Pejor Swami because he was head of the Pejor Mutt. He was a Naishtika Brahmachari. He ate one handful of food a day. He probably weighed 80 pounds or maybe 90 pounds. And not only he was the head of the Mutt, which was an extraordinarily wealthy Mutt. This is going back to Madhvacharya. These Mutts have been established. And that Mutt had so much lands and temples and so much opulence. And in one of the guest houses that that Mutt owned, Sri Pejor Swami would live not in a room, not in a palatial apartment. He lived in the lobby. He slept on a rope bed, a charpoy, in the lobby. There were no darshan hours. He was never alone. Period. So there was no blemish on his reputation whatsoever. What to speak of his actual actions? The sannyasi has an obligation not only to his actions, but to his reputation. Because he represents the lineage very prominently. So I'm mentioning Sri Pejor Swami because he, in his last years, on the podium in front of thousands of Madhvas, him being the most prominent Madhva in South India, in all of India, he spoke on the podium that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. That was a shock for the Madhvas. He had been associating with Gaudiya devotees, and he became convinced. And he further, in another announcement, declared Srila Prabhupada as Shaktivesh Avatar. Right? So there's an indication that this Mutt, and he turned to his juniors before he died when he announced it, and he said to them, and from now on we will all accept this, isn't it? And they very meekly, yes, Swamiji. So this is that prediction, you see, of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they're coming. And I could speak more about the Sri Sampradaya, but I'll just move on from this point. So in the line of Madhva, this idea of Madhurya Ras, and what to speak of Vipralamba, the mood of separation, that was not there. They worshipped the Lord as cowherd boy. Udupi Krishna is a cowherd boy. So where did this come from? We're in that line, Madhva line. Where did it come from? So it came from Sri Madhavendra Puripad, who we're supposed to remember today. And it's very interesting coincidence that these verses that we're going to cover briefly in the Bhagavatam deal with the mood of Vipralamba, of separation. So that this, of course, Bhagavatam verses preceded Madhavendra Puri, but that mood was not fully embraced by the Madhvas or by any of the Sampradayas. So Madhavendra Puri is called the seed in this tree of Vipralamba. The tree was Ishwarapuri. Madhavendra Puri was the seed. His disciple Ishwarapuri was the tree. And the fruit of that tree is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we are enjoying that fruit, totally unqualified, with no precedent, with no reason, except the incredible kindness of Srimati Radharani, who has completely overwhelmed Sri Krishna. And he has manifested in a golden form. So you may recall that in the pastimes of Mahaprabhu, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong on anything, please, but I think it was Balabhacharya who brought forward a poem, and there was some question about whether he had followed the conclusion of Sridhar Swami. Sridhar Swami is maybe, I don't know, 700-800 years prior to Lord Chaitanya, but he had been considered a major authority on the Shastra, on all the Shastras, right? And many scholars even consider that he might be a Mayavadi because he wasn't so clear about his position. So there was some debate. There's still some debate. But Mahaprabhu insisted that you must take the conclusion of Sridhar Swami and not offend, right? So when Jiva Goswami was writing Sandarbhas, he had to prove the position of Lord Chaitanya. So how does he do it when Srila Sridhar Swami says that there are only three Yuga avatars? There's white, red, and black. And the black avatar, Yuga avatar, is the Yuga avatar for two Yugas, Dwapar Yuga and Kali Yuga. Oh, how does he do that? How does he explain Lord Chaitanya without offending Sridhar Swami as was demanded by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? So he very sublimely and very beautifully extracted the truth of it by saying, yes, as said by Srila Sridhar Swami, the Yuga avatar for Dwapar Yuga and Kali Yuga is black. But in Kali Yuga, he gets touched by the mood of Sri Radha and he gets a golden covering. But he's still the same. So this is the proper, of course, not only etiquette, this is the actual truth. That, we'll just read, I'm not going to have much to say, although probably I'll say too much as it is, because these are subjects that are far above me. Maybe there's some of you that it's not far above, but I somewhat doubt that. The 10th canto is a very, very high level. And if we can just realize that we are not this body and we're actually the eternal servant of Krishna, if we can just achieve that in this life, that will be a great thing. And that's far, far away from Madhurya Leela. And even in Madhurya Leela, to actually achieve the understanding of Vipralamba, the mood of separation, is another far, far distance. But for our own purification, for the glorification of the Lord, and to further glorify the importance of Madhavendra Puri, we will read these six verses, I think.
Seven.
You'll need someone who's good with Sanskrit. I kind of stumble through. I'm not terrible, but not good also.
Just do the English.
There's so many verses.
Just do the English.
Just do the English. Okay, what verse is it then?
I
don't know if the book was open. Okay.
Chapter summary
is also there. Read the chapter summary and then 1-7.
Did you have it marked?
Show me this.
Talking too much, my brain gets a little scrambled. Okay. So this is chapter 32 of 10th canto. It's titled here, The Reunion. I'll read the summary. This chapter describes how Sri Krishna manifested himself in the midst of the gopis who had become extremely disturbed by their separation from him. After he consoled them, they expressed to him their deep feelings of ecstasy. The gopis, having shown in various ways their great eagerness to see Krishna, the attractor of Cupid, he appeared before them wearing silken yellow garments and a beautiful flower garland. Some of the gopis, overwhelmed with ecstasy at seeing him, grasped his hands. Others placed his arm on their shoulders. And others accepted the remnants of betel nut he had chewed. Thus they served him. One gopi, impelled by loving anger towards Krishna, bit her lip and looked askance at him. Because the gopis were so attached to Krishna, they were not satiated even by continuously gazing at him. One of them then placed Krishna within her heart, closed her eyes, and embracing him within herself again and again, became absorbed in transcendental bliss, just like a yogi. In this way, the pain the gopis had felt became because of separation from the Lord was dispelled. Next, Lord Krishna went to the bank of the Yamuna in the company of the cowherd girls, his internal potencies. The gopis then made a seat for Krishna out of their shawls, and after he had sat down, they enjoyed with him by gesturing amorously. The gopis still felt hurt that Krishna had disappeared, so he explained to them why he had done so. He further told them that he had come under the exclusive control of their loving devotion and would ever remain indebted to them. So you want me to just read the English, huh? So I'll read the first seven verses. Sukadeva Goswami said, "O King, having thus sung and spoken their hearts out in various charming ways, the gopis began to weep loudly. They were very eager to see Krishna. Then Lord Krishna, a smile on his lotus face, appeared before the gopis. Wearing a garland and a yellow garment, he directly appeared as one who can bewilder the mind of Cupid, who himself bewilders the mind of ordinary people. When the gopis saw that their dearmost Krishna had returned to them, they all stood up at once, and out of their affection for him, their eyes bloomed wide. It was as if the air of life had re-entered their bodies." Must be a new book. One gopi joyfully took Krishna's hand between her folded palms, and another placed his arm, anointed with sandalwood paste, on her shoulder. A slender gopi respectfully took in her joined hands the betel nut he had chewed, and another gopi, burning with desire, put his lotus feet on her breasts. One gopi, beside herself with loving anger, bit her lips and stared at him with frowning eyebrows, as if to wound him with her harsh glances. Another gopi looked with unblinking eyes upon his lotus face, but even after deeply relishing its sweetness, she did not feel satiated, just as mystic saints are never satisfied when meditating upon the Lord's feet. And there's a brief mention in a purport here that Srila Vishvanatha Chakrabarty explains that the analogies given here of saintly persons meditating upon the Lord's feet is only partially applicable, since the ecstasy the gopis felt when Krishna came back was actually unparalleled. Sri Vishvanatha Chakrabarty also reveals that this particular gopi is the most fortunate of all, Srimati Radharani. So, this person, this amazing person, this undefinable person, who has so many beautiful names, Gopal, Krishna, Vasudev, Giri, Hari, Gopinath. I don't think the modern feminist ladies would appreciate this person very much, because he is certainly taking every advantage, and he is certainly the high object of all the ladies' devotion. And of course, he's a very powerful person. Even the demons are fully destroyed by him. But when the boss shows up. He goes running with tears in his eyes. That's boss's mother, Yasoda. So he has all types of characteristics. But these particular characteristics, how beautiful he is for the gopis, in the gopis' hearts and in their eyes, and how they're completely entranced and hypnotized by him, create great pain in their hearts when he separates, when he disappears. And he does this regularly, even though he promises that he'll never leave them, even though he declares how much he is owned by their love. Somehow he still displays his detachment and disappears again. So they're forever in and out of the mood of feeling great pain in his separation. Srila Madhavendra Puri, he was an incredible devotee who understood and was absorbed in the mood of Madhurya Lila and moreover Vipralamba. And he brought this realization to our line. Srila Madhavendra Puri was always reciting a verse, and he was quoting Srimati Radharani. Later, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described the glories of Sri Madhavendra Puri to Lord Nityananda and other devotees, and he started to recite this verse, which was always on the lips of Madhavendra Puri, Lord Chaitanya could not utter more than two words without falling on the ground and rolling and crying in ecstasy and showing all types of bodily symptoms that he could not hold. Mahaprabhu could not hold the love of Srimati Radharani, even though he was Krishna himself. When he was possessed by the mood of Sri Radha, his body came apart, the joints dislocated. The body could not hold that powerful love. He was so much afflicted by this powerful love of Sri Radha, and especially in separation. So when Mahaprabhu recited this verse, I'll try to do justice to the verse. Ayi dina dayadra nata he mathura nata kada vlokya se Ridayang tvadaloka kataram daita brahm yatikim krom yaham. So that verse is 197 here. That is, oh my Lord, oh most merciful Master, oh Master of Mathura. When she says Master of Mathura, that means he's left. He's gone from Braj. He's gone to Mathura. So she's lamenting. That's the inference by calling him Master of Mathura. Mathura Nath. When shall I see you again? Because of my not seeing you, my agitated heart has become unsteady. O most beloved one, what shall I do now? So this is the essence of Vipralamba. This was the verse that was always resonating in the heart and on the lips of Sri Madhavendra Puri. And this mood infected our sampradaya with this most elevated experience, most elevated mood of devotion through the tree of Ishwarapuri, from the seed of Madhavendra Puri. So Madhavendra Puri was a great sannyasi. He did not have a servant. He traveled alone. He was extremely austere. It was said he did not like that people knew that he was little advanced. So he used to go away from those places because he found it a disturbance to his actual devotion. So this is the actual mood of sannyasi. As we see in our line, Mahaprabhu took sannyas from the Sankaracharya line. And some may casually think, well, there wasn't really a sannyas in the Gaudiya, in the Vaishnava lines. They were more, but no, there was a reason. There was a reason. The Sankaracharya line is extremely austere sannyas. When Sankaracharya was once meditating on the bank of the river, there was a lady, she was bathing nearby, and her child got caught up by a crocodile. And Sankaracharya simply sat and continued his meditation. And the people who were coming and running and seeing, and they said, "What kind of sadhu are you? You have no sympathy for this mother." No. He had no sympathy. He was actual sannyasi. They have no daughters. They have no mothers. Only mother they bow to. That's a mistake. Excuse me. They don't bow to the father anymore, but they do bow to the mother. Right? But this is sannyas. This is the kind of sannyasi that Mahaprabhu established. In his example, Chota Haridas. Chota Haridas was just begging Madhukari from an old woman. And when he committed suicide, Mahaprabhu said, "Good. Good." And then, because knowing the standard of Kali Yuga, he then forbade sannyas. So such a high standard. I'm simply trying to tell something, truth. And Srila Prabhupada once remarked that my godbrothers, they have criticized me on many counts, but on one they are correct, that I have given sannyas to too many young men. Right? So this is a very, very elevated position in society, highly respected, because it keeps that standard of total detachment, actually being exited from the material world in the sense that they are socially dead. Right? So, this understanding should be clear. It should be there. And Siddhanta Saraswati, of course, reinforced it very clearly. So, Madhavendra Puri, it's very difficult for us to understand his renunciation today, because we don't see it. Yeah. Traveled alone, on foot, all across India. And whenever he was being honored or worshipped, he moved away from that place. He found it uncomfortable. And three times, although the Lord was always in his heart, always playing his leela in his heart, Madhavendra Puri, like all the Uttamadhavakaris, their feet are in Goloka Vrindavan. But three times the Lord requested Madhavendra Puri to do some special service for him. He personally came. Do you know those three times? Anyone can say? When is the first time? So the Chandan Seva is the second time. The first time. That's why he's temple president. He knows these things.
I'm going away. You're trying to glorify me. I'm going away.
So the first time was when he was at Govardhan. And the Lord came and said, "Go in this bush." This little boy came and pointed. The little boy came, Krishna himself, and said, "Here, take me out of this bush." So he took him out of this bush and built a temple for him on Govardhan. And they had an incredible installation. Not only Pancha Amrit and Pancha Gavya. Panchagavya means the five ingredients of the cow, right? And how many of us understand the importance of cow? Our God is cow herd. He's Gopal. And he's so auspicious that if we go to the toilet, before we touch the deity, we have to take a full bath and put on clean clothes. But the urine and the stool of the cow is put upon the deity. So cow is so auspicious. So, and then after bathing with Panchagavya and Panchamrit, then the Lord ordered, Madhavendra Puri ordered so many pots to be brought from Govindakun to cool the Lord down and cleanse the Lord, right? So thousands and thousands of pots, there was a worry that maybe Govinda Kund would be emptied. So many, all of the locals came from some far distance, and they were all bringing pots up to bathe the Lord and cool him down, but still he wasn't fully cooled. And then the Lord said, I need some chandan to cool me down. And now India at that time, there were no highways, there was no Amazon, there was no mail service like that. No? Maybe amongst the royals they could have some horsemen take their message here and there, but for the common people, no such thing. So how do I get this chandan? It grows in Kerala, and it's especially stockpiled at Puri. So then he walked to Puri, right? And that was a big adventure altogether. How far do you think it is? What do you think that experience is to walk barefoot through the jungles? By the time the British left India, India was still 70% forest cover. Today it's about 14%. So, you know, we blame the British for a lot of things, but don't blame them for that. It was Indians who did it. They cut the forest like crazy. And there were hundreds and thousands of tigers, bears, cobras. These forests were really, really frightening places to walk alone. He walked alone. And then, of course, arriving at Puri, his reputation had preceded him because he's always surrounded by the halo of the Lord's love and appreciation. The devotees can, who are real devotees, they can immediately see that. Just like at the assembly of Namisharanya, when Sukadev Goswami came running in, young boy, these are all old sadhus, old rishis, big beards, long hair, with huge experience, great learning. They're constantly seeing the truth of the universe. And a little boy, a young boy runs in, 16 years old, completely naked. And they all stood up. They all stood up. Would that happen in ISKCON? Would we have those eyes? Huh? So we can understand our place as compared to these great saintly persons. They could see immediately who was a devotee and who was not a devotee. It's the nature of a Madhyamadikari that he can actually begin to discriminate who is a devotee and who is not a devotee. The Kanista Adhikari cannot see. He thinks, oh, he has a big stick, everybody's following him, he must be an advanced devotee. That's the only way they can tell. They don't know. They have no idea. And we see outside of ISKCON, occasionally in ISKCON, some bogus fellow will sit on the asana, mostly outside of ISKCON. And he'll have, like, what's his name down in Whitefield, Sai Baba with the big fuzzy head. He had 50 million disciples. 50 million disciples. Only, yeah. And now we have Sadguru, who's really Sadguru, who makes everybody ultimately sad. Although he's very clever. He is very, very clever. But we've had such clever men before. Some of them become politicians and cheat us. Some of them become businessmen and make a nice marketing campaign to destroy our life. Such cheaters are there. And by his foolishness, so many people follow. Because why? They want something, they want some spiritual connection, but they're so kanista, they cannot tell who is actually authorized and who actually has some knowledge. And we should be careful of that characteristic in us. So, Madhavendra Puri, when he arrived at Nilachala in Jagannath Puri, many of the people immediately knew. Some had heard in advance that there's some great personality who glows with love of Krishna, who radiates love of Krishna, and who hides away from the masses. His name is Madhavendra Puri. So when he stepped into Nilachala, everybody was aware, either by directly knowing or by telling the others, this is a great Vaishnava. So they're immediately eager to help him serve Gopal. And of course, on the way down, another wonderful pastime had happened. What was that pastime? At Ramuna, right? At Ramuna, have any of you been to, let's see hands, how many have been to Ramuna? Not very many. It was a very important place for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, very important. Srila Prabhupada actually sent me there. He said, I cannot go. This was in 1977 when I was traveling with him, most of 77. He said, I cannot go, but you go for me. He said, take your wife and go and taste the kheer for me. Right? So I went on that order. And many times afterwards I went. So if you haven't tasted that stolen kheer, that booty of the great thief, Gopinath, then you haven't fully lived. That kheer is something amazing. Those of you who have been there know that. Something amazing. And in those days, back in the 70s, it wasn't so developed, so built up. It was a very simple, dusty village with a few cows roaming around, old, old temple. And but the Brahmins there, later I came with a group of Brahmacharis from my temple. I was at the time Miami Temple president. Sorry, this was before, actually. What am I saying? This was before Prabhupada had ordered me to go. And they were, rough, tough brahmacharis, American book distributors. They thought they could, handle, young men could handle anything. And the Brahmins saw them coming, the pujaris, and they thought, we'll see. And they start bringing pots of kheer, and pots of kheer, and pots of kheer. Until those boys were all laying down devastated, completely defeated. So Gopinath is a very marvelous Lord. Even my daughter, as she was growing up, she had a tendency to dance. And so she came when I was in India and she said, I want to spend a few years learning Odissi dance. And I want to dance for Gopinath. So she took a guru who was coming directly from Kelachru Mohapatra. Some of you may know who that is. And she studied very hard for a few years. Her feet were bruised and bloody. And finally her Rangatam came where she does her first dance in a public place. And we went to the Guruji's home village, which was Ramuna. And when she danced, of course, the girls are always a little late. That's a famous thing about ladies. They're always a little late. So, and more so, they were putting on all these, decorations that the Odissi girls put on. So they were very late. And by the time the performance started in the Darshan Mandap in front of Gopinath, the bells rang, the doors closed. Oh, so she danced. And then later, I was sitting next to Guruji, he was singing, playing for the other girls to dance, and I saw my daughter crying in the back. I thought, what's the matter? You dance nice? Great. And she said, no, the doors were closed. So anyway, such is the nature of Gopinath that he draws our hearts, he causes us to feel great love. And so it was with Madhavendra Puri when he came and saw Gopinath. He was thinking, what wonderful seva these Brahmins, these pujaris are giving to Gopinath. They're creating this incredible kheer. I wonder what that formula is. I wonder what that recipe is. I wonder how to make it for my Lord back at Govardhan. So in that mentality, he was so humble and so advanced that he worried that perhaps I've created an offense by wondering how it tastes. And of course he ran away. He went off and he was feeling very bad. Slept, pulled his chadar over by a tree, just curled up like he normally did. This was his standard of sannyas. He didn't look for a home. He looked for a tree. And he curled up in his chadar and he took rest. And of course we know the story, most wonderful story, Gopinath stole the last offering. Some pot from the last offering and put it behind his foot. The Brahmin had a dream that it was there. Gopinath told him, go call Madhavendra Puri. He's a sannyasi. He's out in the village. Kheer was given. So what a devotee who the Lord is so eager to interact with, to make sure he has the kheer. And then back to Nilachala, he's gathering the sandalwood, and on returning he had one mound. One mound is, I think, about 82 pounds in today's measurement. It was called a mound. So he had one mound of sandalwood and something like 8 ounces of camphor. Those are the ingredients he was bringing back for his Gopal at Govardhan. But then on the way, of course, if you've ever traveled to Puri, you have to travel through Balasore. Balasore means Bala, Balakrishna, right? So that's the train stop. If you're taking the Puri Express from Calcutta, it always stops at Balasore. And Balasore is just maybe, I don't know, 10, 12 kilometers from Ramuna. Right? So if you ever get on that side, please go to Ramuna. Take darshan of Ramuna. And beg and crawl on the ground for a small spoonful of that kheer. And you'll immediately feel completely attached to the Lord Gopinath. So Madhavendra Puri returned to Ramuna on his way. This is the course to travel if you're coming back to Vrindavan and Govardhan. Because there, Vrindavan is in the northern area and Puri is very south, no? Orissa is very south, so you have to come up that way. So upon arriving, he got this dream that his Lord at Govardhan, again, now the Lord comes to him. And he's always telling him different things, do this, do that, no? So now he's gone all the way to bring him with so much trouble, traversing through the jungle, walking on thorns, stones, hot sand, for months perhaps. How long does it take? It's 1,000 miles, it's a long way, yeah? And now he's coming back after so much carrying these. Now he has two assistants who are helping to carry. He didn't carry the 84 pounds alone. He had some assistants. They were sent from Puri. And now the Lord tells him something else. He said, no, I'm the same Lord here. So you just give these ingredients to me as Gopinath. So the Lord keeps coming, telling this, that. And it's the nature of the Lord. It's not that we just get into a mechanical mode of service. This is also a very neophyte mindset. It may be required in this sadhana bhakti to get in a very consistent, purifying mindset. But as one makes a little progress, he starts realizing that the desire of the Lord is dynamic. It's constantly moving. The opportunities to serve come from all different directions. And we never know. Somebody may come in front of us and ask a question we never expected. And this may be the golden opportunity of our life to serve this person. Who may be so much above us that by offering some words from our parampara that will bless us. So the Lord's will is always dynamic. It's never predictable. And this is the problem the gopis are having here. Now they're absorbed in enjoying. But some of them are remembering, this fellow is a big cheater. He's going to leave me again. And so they're a little angry still. They're not so easily going to just get over it. You know, the one gopi, she's biting her lip and she's looking at him from the side, eyes like this, you know. What kind of fellow are you? You think you can just come back? Suddenly everything's forgiven? Nothing doing. You still, you have something to pay here. I've been giving my heart and soul, right? So the Lord is always full of surprises. And ultimately devotional service, real devotional service means it's a dynamic, living mood. and always depended on the Lord. When Srila Prabhupada was lying here in his last visit to Vrindavan, of course before he moved into his eternal form, the leader of New Vrindavan, they were building a big palace for Prabhupada, you probably know this, and he came to see Srila Prabhupada. I was there. And he said, Srila Prabhupada, look at these photos. We're building a beautiful palace for you. And Prabhupada glanced at the photos and he said, oh, we will see which palace Lord Krishna wants me to stay in. Well, this was his actual mood. It wasn't a planned, clever response. He was, in that last months, he was basically just open and transparent. His real heart was so easy to see. When he sat on the Vyasa San to represent the Sampradaya to so many neophyte and even less than neophyte devotees, naturally, formality, some covering of his actual transcendental mood. Although he displayed the mood of a loyal servant, constantly engaged in the service of the Lord, in those last months, sometimes that the actual feeling in his heart was not covered. So he said, we will see which palace the Lord wants me to stay in. And this is the actual mood, totally dependent on the Lord. And helpless. The gopis are helpless here in these verses. Now they're enjoying, but just in the first verse, they were suffering like anything. They could hardly breathe at times. Sometimes the heart is not keeping a rhythm. We're not sure if we're going to live. We may fall on the ground. Lord Chaitanya displayed these characteristics. The body couldn't stay together. The joints would come disjointed. This comes from the mood of Riparamba. It's the most powerful, devastating, life-threatening mood of devotion. What time is this?
A few minutes to 8:57.
So again, I'm really sorry to speak in front of senior sannyasis and many of you. Perhaps there are some comments or questions that would enlighten this discussion. Temple President Prabhu.
Sometimes from Calcutta they go to Haridwar to worship the Ganges, or people go to pilgrimage places here, there, and everywhere. So if one state, like say we're here in Vrindavan, and you're obviously a very highly spiritual Srila Prabhupada's here, and so is there more benefit in traveling to places of pilgrimage, or just if you're in one place of pilgrimage, you could reap the same benefits, or should we endeavor to keep going here, there, and everywhere for pilgrimage purposes when we're already in pilgrimage in one place?
Well, I think so. Prabhu was asking, is it better to travel around or better to stay in one place? I think for us, we don't have to look at sort of the broader Vaishnava way or even the broader Hindu way, so to speak. We have to look at our way, right? And in Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada had commented to us because he saw in the beginning there was a tendency to roam around. Prabhupada said to us, this is your Vrindavan, Krishna Balaram temple. He said, they will not understand you, and you will not understand them. Okay? So that was somewhat of a warning. Of course, when you go in groups of devotees with some senior devotee, and you're worshipping these different pastimes in a sangha, then that's a marvelous thing, right? And to attend to all types of different places of pilgrimage if the opportunity comes. But primarily, we are supposed to preach. So, yes, we chant japa. We chant 16 rounds or more. No? But unless you're extremely advanced, while you're chanting, the mind is always moving away. And you're always pulling it back. It's a constant fight. No? It's off to the marketplace, or it's doing some management of something, or it's just the nature of the mind that it wanders. No? But when you preach, the mind has to focus. Otherwise, it's quite embarrassing, no? If you just ramble on something stupid, it's quite embarrassing. So at least even out of pride, I want to focus a little and say something correct. Or more advanced level is that I actually feel some compassion. I actually want to help this person. Don't worry about me. I'm a hopeless case. But if I can help the devotees, and that's the case just now, today, I'm a hopeless case. But many of you will someday go back to Godhead. And at least if you send me a postcard, I'll be lifted up. I'll be encouraged. So, serving the devotees and serving the pious by speaking, that is our mission. That is the mission that Srila Prabhupada gave us very specifically, right? So there is a tendency to look to the broader Vaishnava community, the broader sadhu community, and even the broader Hindu community. But be careful of that, because that is not where you will be saved. You will be saved from this Guru Varga, from this family of gurus. Srila Prabhupada came and saved you. There are many other great acharyas, many great sadhus. You'll see them passing throughout India. Incredibly elevated. But the Lord did not send them for you. He may have sent them for you to see, to encourage you, to offer pranams to beg that someday I could have such tapasya, such sincerity. That fine. But just remember who came to save you. That person was assigned by the Lord. That person is named A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. He is the acharya forever of the ISKCON establishment. He is the acharya. And he is our ultimate shelter. There are many, many in a lawn of grass. You see a lot of small little blades of grass, like so many devotees. And then sometimes there are some bushes that give shade also. So many senior devotees, sannyasis, even gurus, siksha gurus, even diksha gurus, they come up. But the big tree that gives all shelter, that gives all auspiciousness, that makes this whole garden come alive, that's the acharya Srila Prabhupada, nobody else. So this is our line, and we stay in our family. If a lady is married to a wonderful husband, and he gives her beautiful children, fabulous life, leaves her very well cared for in the hands of her son and with sufficient money, whether he takes sannyas or he dies, why should she go somewhere else? Is it not an insult to the husband, though he didn't take care of me properly? Isn't it an insult? She should honor. He gave me everything. He did all his duties and more. He was the perfect husband. So Srila Prabhupada is that perfect acharya. He gave us everything. Don't wander here and there. You're a fool to wander here and there. You'll lose the great treasure. Just go deeper and deeper into the service described by Srila Prabhupada in our line, our Guru Varga. Come on.
It's so nice to hear your class again. Roji, there's been something that's been observed, and especially in Vrindavan, and I asked Maharaj this question as well. that there is such open availability of so much else outside of this school as well, like really different sampradayas or different temples and different lineages, etc. And I see one of my close friends who was a very staunch devotee, disciple of Srila Prabhupada's disciple, and she's left this school because of going to another place. And then I've seen another person in these cases, I've seen another one friend, she just took one Mataji to hear one particular very well kind of respected devotee, and then she decided to leave her guru and go there. So, Prabhuji, is there something you could just say as a word of caution? And in Mangalarati, Maharaj used to announce this a lot, don't go listening to classes other places. Apart from other places in the world, Vrindavan happens to be a place where you could just go and nobody would even notice it.
So you know this story, true story, and Srila Prabhupada, one disciple came, he had gone away, and he came back to see Srila Prabhupada, and he said, Srila Prabhupada, will you bless me? I've taken another guru. Did he bless him? He blasted him. Right? He said, you can go to hell. Right? Because it's the greatest insult. Prabhupada performed so much austerity. His heart was so perfect. He traveled across the ocean having heart attacks in a steamer. Do you know what it's like to travel in a steamer? It's not a luxury boat. The whole day you hear the motor clanging and banging through the iron walls and panels. Boom, 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 boom. There's no air conditioning. The sea is rocking. You're an old man with no money, no idea where you're going. He did all this for you. For you. And then he came and worked so hard and lived in the worst part of the worst country. And then he did such marvelous books. Who could imagine to write so many books? Working at night when he should have been resting his old body. Risking everything. And you're going to just look for some glamour guru? What the hell? Really, what the hell? What kind of person are you? Do you have no real heart? This person saved you. He gave you everything. He didn't need to come here. He was living in Sadhu Heaven, in Radha Damodar. He was beloved by the great devotees of this town, by the Bajbasis. He was in Saint's Heaven. Why would he want to leave? But out of love and compassion for you. What kind of person are you? Please don't associate with such persons. This is not... This is not going to help you in any way, nor can you help them.
No, I'm not associating. I'm just saying that it's sad that these devotees, you come a certain point because of Prabhupada, like you explained, and then you just decide to, okay, I can find something better to speak. I mean,
so
I don't know how Prabhupada feels about that.
Look, many people come because of the momentum of the crowd. You know, in a ball game or in a concert, the whole crowd roars together. They feel a common excitement. Or some senior devotee has a lot of charisma and he pulls so many people with him. There will always be the wheat and the chaff. You know what is the wheat and the chaff? The wheat is the actual substance, the actual food. The chaff is the leftover. No? So we don't expect everyone to come. Srila Prabhupada said, when you sell diamonds, you don't expect that everyone will come. In fact, you know, there is a lot of excessive growth in our society. I personally heard Srila Prabhupada say in 1977, no more growth, no more growth. Yes, in this room, right here. And that wasn't publicized. Because that's all we knew was growth. We were so much in Rajagun, We didn't know anything else but growth. We couldn't sit down and start chanting more rounds or quality rounds. We had to just keep banging the drum and selling the books. That's all we knew how to do. Not that that's a bad thing. It's a wonderful thing. But Prabhupada was concerned that he knew that the power of this mantra, the power of this movement would attract many people. But he was concerned that the leadership could not handle so much chaff. Because with wheat comes chaff. So that will be there. We pray for them. And certainly they're all, even the chaff are greater than me. But we should realize this is a fact. Three types of criticism are auspicious. We often hear that one should never speak negative, right? And that's taken to a fanatic level. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes three types of criticism which are auspicious. One, when it's criticism to correct and help the person who's at fault. Two, when it's criticism to help a follower or someone who may be influenced to go in the wrong way. And three, when it's within ourselves, we realize, we criticize that this is wrong, I should not follow that example. These are three types. And Srila Prabhupada said, spiritual life is not for the unintelligent. It is not a sentimental process. It's an intelligent process. And one has to cut the knot. Ahankar is to cut the knot. And that means you have to discipline the senses. You have to discipline the mind. This is the hardest lesson. And watch the mind wander, wander. As soon as you're wandering, you pull it back. But preach, and that will help you. That alone will help you the most. Just preach, whether it be book distribution, speaking to other devotees, or going out and preaching. So, Prabhu asked, is it better to stay here? It's better to preach, whether here or somewhere else. So, I'm 72 years now, 53 years in the movement, and I'm very fallen, a useless person. I have so many failures in my history. But still I try, because I have firm faith in Srila Prabhupada. I have firm faith in the Holy Name. And you'll notice, I'm here maybe a week, a month. I'm out preaching. I'm not supported by ISKCON. I'm just preaching because I have to preach. I go out into the villages and I preach, because they're ready to hear a fool like me. They're such simple and kind people that they'll allow me to speak something. So I preach. That's the remedy for the poison that's infiltrated our being, is to preach, is to describe the glories of the Lord. So I maybe went adrift here, but if there's anything else I can say, please guide me. Thank you all very much. Very kind of you. Vanchakalpa, Triyubrascha, Kripa Sindhubyevacha, Patitanan Pavani Bhyo, Vaishnava Bhyo, Namo Namaha. Jai, Jai, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.